The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and throughout all, and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, David's. And he said to them, How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one could answer him a word. Neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there will be catechism class this morning after this Mass. Tomorrow, or first of all, before that, we will have Vespers with benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. And Thursday is the solemn commemoration of the Sorrowful Mother. I think that this is an absolutely wonderful opportunity for us to be in between these two feasts. First, that we can call upon her as by her holy name, by her beautiful name of Mary. And then secondly, that we can approach her in her sorrow as she beheld the various and sundry presentations of what was to be and what was actually being. And in that sorrow, if we can show her that we indeed are compassionate and that we indeed understand and are indeed followers of her son, her beloved son, for whom she sorrowed so, don't you think that in the very mention of her name, that she will be more than anxious and willing to hear us and to help us and to protect us and to lead us and guide us? In between these two feasts, we celebrate The finding of the Holy Cross of our Blessed Lord, three beautiful feast days coming right together, one after the other. The Holy Cross is a piece of wood. And yet, that Holy Cross and the tiniest fragment of that piece of wood has to be by far over and above the greatest gem on this earth. To most people, that piece of wood is a piece of wood and would probably make pretty decent firewood as far as they are concerned. But as we have said before, to those who do not believe, don't bother trying, because it's not possible to persuade them. The Holy Cross of Jesus Christ is indeed, without any question or doubt, the most precious article there is on this earth. Nothing can compare with it. We are extremely fortunate to have relics of the Holy Cross here in our possession. And I hate to say it, but I think one or two of them were quickly gotten on the rebound as they were headed to goodness knows where. Because such as that, again, I hate to say it, such as that is not important anymore. You're still believing as the medievalists, and we of our day are above such superstitions. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, with thy whole mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, this commandment is, of course, the most important. But it scares us because we do not comprehend exactly what we have to do in order to live up to this requirement, that I have to love my God with my whole mind, with my whole heart, with my whole soul, with my whole being. Then we ask and argue, well, if that is what we have to do, what is there left for me? Well, understand me as I began anyway. What is there left for me? Then I will say, nothing. Now that bears explaining. What do we mean by this nothing that is left for me? I have life to live. I have to care for my family. I have to work. I have to go out and do this. I have to go out and do that. Does that mean that this commandment is going to interfere with what I am obliged to do? And the answer to that is very simple. It doesn't interfere at all. It is understood that we have to live by the sweat of our brow. That's understood. That's a granted. That is a given that we must understand. Then what is it that we have to do in order to live up to this obligation of ours to love God with our whole being? And so we come, therefore, to the fulfillment of what we say so much here, that we have to love. In today's bulletin, which I encourage you to read very carefully, it might be perhaps here or there or wherever a bit pointed. But sometimes we have to point in order to reach. And I encourage you to kindly read it with the openness and the honesty of mind and the simplicity of soul that will help to make us understand what it means to love. If we do not love, if we do not have love within us, in our heart, in our being, in our soul, in everything about us, we will not understand what is meant by today's bulletin. All of us have our moment of prayer. And in that moment of prayer, each and every one of us is filled with devotion, as it should be. But what about the rest of the day that is not part of that moment of prayer? Does the rest of the day square with the moment of prayer? What is our conduct? How do we comport ourselves? What is our demeanor? What do we do during the rest of that day that will square with what we said earlier in that day when we were praying? It goes, we cannot depart from it, it goes with the degree of our love. To the degree that we love, to the degree can we carry out all of our duties, to the degree that we can carry out that which was decided upon at that time of prayer that morning, to the degree that we love, to the degree that we can do that. At the present time, at the present moment, we're still in the wake of the terrible storm that afflicted us here some days ago. And during this period of time, have we not come face to face with a variety of incidents? Incidents that have ranged from love that we speak of, to incidents that have reached the purest kind of hate, I shouldn't use the word pure, to the most profound levels of hatred that could be imagined by the human mind, and everything in between. Some see the hand of God. Some, many, do not. And if it is the hand of God, then why is it that he has punished us? And they dare ask, what have we done? Why are we the ones that have been punished? If you say that we're all in this, why were we selected? rather than somebody else or wherever else. Almighty God punishes where he will. If it is punishment, if it is coincidence, it is coincidence. It is not for us to judge. It is simply for us to try to understand and to put into practice what is required of us. We're living in interesting times. Every day is an interest in itself. My beloved people, all I can say to you is that we, all of us, in this moment of total chaos, is to work with all of our strength to stay constantly in the state of grace. We do not know the hour, nor the moment, nor the day, nor the time, nor the place, nor the method. Let us stay always in the state of grace. Let us be able to know that we are in the state of grace. Let it be our desire that's important. Let it be our desire to stay in the state of grace all the time, that we not offend God. I realize that it is very difficult to step outside that door and not find many opportunities that would prevail upon us to offend God. We must work not to offend. Our love must keep us from it. It ill behooves. Read those carefully. They may not apply to you, wonderful, or to us, wonderful. Incidentally, these bulletins do go out, quite a number of them, to other parts of the country, to other people. And sometimes some of the things that appear in our bulletins, though you may not know it at the moment, don't apply to us as they apply to some of the others that receive them. Let us pray. Let us be people of prayer. Not necessarily prayerful people. Let us keep this in mind. There's a difference between being a prayerful person and a person of prayer. A prayerful man as opposed to a man of prayer. A prayerful man tells me nothing. A prayerful man can very easily be one who would just put on the cloak of prayer at the moment of prayer. And as soon as the moment of prayer is over with, he takes the cloak off and hangs it up in the closet till the next time, until the next moment of prayer. But a man of prayer, every move he makes, everything he does, every place he goes to, every bite that he puts in his mouth to eat is a prayer. Does that mean that at every time he puts a morsel in his mouth that he has to say, I'm praying, I pray to you, glory be to God, I'm eating for God? Not at all. That's silly. As in some cases, to show you how it can be, how sometimes those that misinterpret that which is presented to us. There are some people, I've seen them in this church, passers-by, who take the quotation, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So therefore, every time the name of Jesus, for example, the litany of Jesus, the heads go like this, constantly. That's not right. Suppose that we've put it to its fullest application, that every knee should bend, because that's what it really says, then we would wear our knees out under such an uncalled for and unwise application of the law. a reverence. You can see reverence in a person who is reverent. And that person who is reverent is giving his all or her all in love to Almighty God. So, with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with our whole soul, with our whole being, everything we do, given in the morning, the background of love, the atmosphere of love, the feeling of love is always present, regardless of whether we're driving a car in the middle of downtown, whether we're plowing a field, whether we are eating, whether we are recreating, or whatever. It's all done for him. This is his place. And we are his work people. We are his servants. And everything we do, that we do, is for him. This is not ours. And every now and then, like it was a week or so ago, he comes down and shows us and tells us quite graphically that this is mine. It doesn't belong to you. This is mine. And I can do with it as I please. And I will do with it as I please. Because it's mine. And when you come to die, you will have to leave it because it does not belong to you. So my beloved people, it is in the simplicity of our hearts and in the solitude of our hearts that we pray. We don't have to go stomping down the avenue to go parading God. That's not it. It is my privacy, it is my love, it is my devotion, it is my prayer, said in the privacy of my room, perhaps, that will reach God. And as I said before, one single solitary Hail Mary, or Our Father, said with that spirit in mind, really and truly can have more power than the power of armies and marching preachers. So, may God bless us as we try. And again, in this week's bulletin, the word conversio comes up again. The word conversio is going to continue to come up. Because as we walked away from the garden, my beloved people, unless and until we turn around and start back, it will be better for us not to have made any pledge at all. My beloved people.